Amen. Beloved Lord, say amen. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Great honor. It's a delight and honor to be able to come before you tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to preach the word to you tonight. Appreciate our pastor tonight. Appreciate, amen, how the Lord is just so using him and how he's making himself available for the Lord to use him. And everybody in the church, amen, just following the vision of the pastor. And I tell you, I just appreciate being a part of it, and I'm a very blessed man. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. Just appreciate his mercies, amen. If you'd asked me, I never would have thought. I was thinking the other day or just a few weeks ago how that 20 years ago I never would have thought that my life would be where it's at tonight. But I praise the Lord. I appreciate the Lord for it tonight. Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Luke chapter 9. Verses 57 through 62. Thank you, Brother Mike. Luke 9, 57 through 62. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Amen. In these verses here, we have some men that's giving the Lord some excuses. And that's what I want to preach about tonight. I want to preach about no excuses. Amen. No excuses. You may be seated. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In Luke chapter 9, we understand there's many things that go on in Luke chapter 9. We find that Jesus sends his disciples in the first six verses. It talks about him sending his disciples. Verses 10 through 17 is the story where the 5,000 are fed. We also have the Apostle Peter's confession in Luke chapter 9. We have the story of the transfiguration also in Luke chapter 9. We also have the story about the demoniac boy that's healed there at the end of chapter 9, how that Jesus Christ healed him when his disciples could not cast that devil out. But notice Jesus, these men are talking about following Jesus, and Jesus asked them to follow him. Follow is used for several things throughout the New Testament and the Bible. It's used of soldiers, first of all, following their leader or commander. It's used as a servant or slave following or attending their master. It's also used to following or obeying someone else's advice or opinion. It's also used to follow the laws or rules of a city of which one is a citizen. It's also used to follow a thread or argument of a discourse. And lastly of all, it's used to attach oneself to someone in order to extract a favor which is desired. So we find all of these things in the Christian life. It throws a light. This word follow, it throws a light. All these uses throw a light of the Christian life. We understand that a Christian is, first of all, a soldier. Amen. It is following Jesus Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and 4, Paul said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You see, soldiers were excluded from those relations or agencies or engagements which would divert their minds. They were not allowed to do anything that would divert their mind from being what they were supposed to be as a soldier, as a following or obeying, or as a servant. We obey whatever our master speaks. Also, we ask and follow the advice of Christ. As a citizen of heaven, we desire to obey and live according to its laws. Amen. As a disciple of Christ, we are a learner who must listen to the words of Christ and follow his train or thread or train of thought of the words of Christ. Where a Christian is also one who always needs and desires the favor, grace, and help which only Jesus Christ alone can give. Many follow Jesus for different reasons. The disciples followed Jesus because of the compelling, his appealing attraction, amen, to them and summons. The crowds followed Jesus because they desired the things which he alone could give them. Some followed to experience his wonder-working power. Sinners followed Jesus because they felt that he alone could enable them to mend their broken lives and to begin again. Oh, I tell you, I'm serving a wonderful Savior here tonight that will give you a promise, that will give you hope. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whenever the sinner hears words like that, there's something about when Jesus spoke, that sinner that had that broken life, he said, hey, these are words unlike I've ever heard before. There's a man telling me there's a better way. Do not we have, amen, the good news or the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ tonight? The blind man whose eyes were open followed Jesus in sheer gratitude for what he had done for them. In the New Testament, following Jesus involves three things. It involves counting the cost, first of all. It involves sacrifice. In modern language, following Jesus is a full-time, not a part-time job. It also involves carrying a cross, an act of surrender. Amen. Talking about Jesus Christ in Philippians, let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus, who became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But here in Luke chapter 9, amen, we find three hindrances given for following Jesus Christ. When you look up the word excuse, it's a reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. A reason or explanation put forward to defend or justify a fault or offense. Amen. Oh, don't you love it when people make excuses? Amen. But right here we find three hindrances to following Jesus in Luke chapter 9. First of all, financial considerations can be a hindrance. Notice this man's enthusiastic. He comes to Jesus Christ in verse number 58 or 57. Amen. He said, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. This man is enthusiastic. He's heard the words of Jesus Christ. I mean, oh, things are happening. Jesus Christ has got a following now. He's fed 5,000 with two fish and 5 loaves of bread. I mean, they've come off the mountaintop, and it's a great time. And no doubt, maybe this young man was at the bottom of the mountain when Jesus healed that demoniac boy, and he's all excited, and he said, Lord, I tell you what, I'm going to get in on this. I'm going to go wherever, whithersoever thou goest, I'm going to be with you. Oh, yeah. Amen. Oh, he was enthusiastic. And I think about that parable of the sower in Matthew chapter 13. Jesus Christ said, you know, when he talks about the sower, there was two ways to sow back in Palestine in those days. One was to scatter the seed, you know, just take it and scatter it. And the other was, one commentator said, another way was to put that sack on a donkey, if you will, and poke a hole in it and just follow behind him. He said that was a lazy way to do it. But no doubt this man, Jesus Christ, he was talking about the man that was taking that seed and scattering it. And he said some of it is going to fall upon stony ground, and what you have is a little bit of earth. And he said, there's going to be people that hear my word, and with joy within, and that means immediately, with joy they're going to receive it, but they don't have any doubt, and because of persecution and tribulation, by and by they're going to wither away. He said they start out good. It seemed like maybe they start out strong, but they don't have any depth. They never went down and got those stony places out. And he said, they wither up and die. You see, some people's lives are littered with things that they began but never finish. Amen. You ever been there doing spring cleaning? Amen. You get a hold of something. Been there a while, you clean it up and you get sidetracked, right? And you say, oh, man, there's some old pictures. And next thing you know, your wife comes in there about 30 minutes later and says, hey, You still got all this mess in here. What's going on? Well, I got sidetracked. You know, I got to looking at these old pictures and got to looking at this, that, and the other. Got to doing something else. Amen. But I tell you what. Amen. I praise God I was able to start. But I don't want to just start strong. Hey, I want to finish strong for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, would you help me to be dedicated to you? Help me not to offer any excuses to God that I can say like Paul, I have fought a good fight by his grace. I have kept the faith. The promise, notice the promise. I'm going to tell you young people, young folks, you can live in the victory. You don't have to be up with the victory on Sunday night. Amen. And then down and out by Wednesday night. Oh, years ago. Amen. I tell you, I've been in some church services. I noticed this one man. Amen. He was running around the church one service. Amen. I went to another church service a few nights later. I tell you, I thought he had the victory on that one church service. He was running around the church. He got up in that other church service, and he said just two nights later, and said, he testified, and said, I didn't think I was going to be able to make it. The devil's been fighting me. I just felt like kind of giving up. I said, my Lord, you were just running around the church two nights ago. I say, oh God, help me. I don't want to offer those excuses to Jesus Christ. Lord, let me have an enthusiasm that lasts. Let me have a relationship with God. Jesus told the church at Ephesus, you've left your first love. When you're in love with somebody, that fire is going to be there. Lord, help me tonight. Oh, he promised of the applicant. Notice he says, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Amen. I think about the Apostle Peter. Amen. Though all men forsake you, Lord. Amen. Oh, yeah, I get worried when people start talking like that. Amen. Though all men forsake you, Lord. Amen. I'll never even notice what is promised for the applicant. Jesus Christ tells him, poverty. All right, if you want to follow me. Amen, that's fine. But I want to tell you, if you want to sleep out in the open, amen, the foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. But I don't have nowhere to lay my head. You never know where you're going to go. You don't know where I'm going to take you. Are you willing to still sign up for that? Amen, I tell you, Lord, it's kind of different now. But I remember when I first got saved, when I was single, I said, Lord, I don't care where you take me. God, I don't care what you want me to do. I said, Lord, I'll sleep in a tent if I have to. I just want you. I say it's different now because I can't get my wife to. Amen. My little boy likes sleeping in a tent. Amen. My wife, we tried it one time. Oh, I'm telling you, if it gets bad enough, maybe we'd have to do it again. But I think that was her first and last time right there. Amen. I'm staying in a tent. She said, next time we spend a little extra money and we get in a motel room. Praise God. Hallelujah. But I tell you what, this young man, amen, he said, I'll follow you. But Jesus Christ, amen, told him, poverty is the only thing I can promise you. Amen. If you follow me, and the Bible don't tell us whether he follows Jesus Christ or not. Notice, secondly of all, family considerations can be a hindrance. We notice the call to follow. Jesus says, follow me. Notice the condition this man gives Jesus for following. He says, suffer me first, or allow me first to bury my father. See, Jesus Christ understands the dead in that time was buried within 24 hours. This man's father was not dead. No doubt many commentators I've read behind, maybe he was 2 years away from dying. Maybe he was up in age. Amen. And this young man, he's saying, Lord, you know, I don't know. My dad might pass away this week, next month, next year. You know, it's about that time. I'd like to spend a few more days with him, Jesus Christ. Amen. Notice what the command for following. He said, let the dead bury their dead. Come now and follow me. Listen, we've got to put Jesus Christ first. If there's one thing I want to instill in my children, is that you love God before you love me. You love God more than you love your mama and your daddy. You've got to love Jesus Christ more than anything in this world. Formal considerations. Pronouncement of the would-be follower, thirdly of all, he says, Lord, I will follow thee. Amen. But notice the priority of the follower. He says, let me first bid them farewell. Amen. Now, no doubt, maybe Jesus Christ, there was something else going on because Elisha was allowed to go back home and bid them farewell. But no doubt Jesus Christ knew this man's home. He knew his family. Maybe he knew that they would talk him out of following Jesus Christ. And he said, hey, Jesus Christ said, no man, having looking back, amen, having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Looking back causes one to do two things. Amen. First of all, looking back causes one to get off course and plow a crooked road. Amen. You ever tried to walk forward and look backward? It's got me in trouble several times. I mean, you're bumping into people. Oh, excuse me. I was walking one way and looking another, you know, looking behind me. And sorry, but I tell you, but when you're plowing those rows, you've got to keep your eyes. Amen. We've got some people in here. Amen. As farmers, grew up on farm. Amen. You could tell me all about it. Understand. Amen. But you've got to look ahead. Amen. You're going to crowd. You're going to plow a crooked row. Notice. Amen. Sonny of all, there's usually a stopping process when you look back. You slow down and eventually you stop. Amen. We understand. We think about Lot's wife. I don't know about you tonight, but I do not want to offer Jesus Christ any excuse. We find 7 excuses offered up in Scripture. First of all, personal incompetence. Moses said, Lord, I'm slow of speech and I'm a slow tongue. I want to work for you. I want to work for you. I want you to do something with my life. But Lord, you missed it on this one, Lord, because I can't speak, Lord. I'm of slow speech. You ever told the Lord, Lord, I think you missed it? I mean, have you ever not, maybe you actually said that, but you're thinking that, Lord, are you sure? Sometimes we ask the Lord these silly questions. Lord, are you sure I'm the one? Lack of social position. Gideon said, my family is poor, and I'm the least in my father's house. Thirdly of all, difficulties of the undertaking. Proverbs 22:13, the slothful man saying, there's a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. I just don't feel like doing it. I know what the Lord wants me to do, but I'm too tired. Amen. I just got so much other things going on in this life. Amen. Oh, God, help us not to offer no excuses tonight. Amen. One young man, he said he was too young. Jeremiah said, Lord, I'm just a child or a youth. But God said, don't say that you're just a youth. Amen. God had great things for him. Fifth of all, the hardness of the master. The unjust steward that hid the talent. Listen, God gives every person a gift, a talent. I understand that word talent there is talking about physical money. But amen, I'm telling you, God gives everybody on the face of this earth a gift. He gives you something that comes natural almost to you, that don't come natural for other people in the sense that it does for you. Amen. He's given you the ability to do some great things, and he wants you to take that gift and use it for his kingdom. Amen. God, help us to use our gifts. Amen. To invest the talent or gift that God gives us. Pressure of business. Amen. And they all with one consent. Me and Brother Greg Miles love to use the scripture a lot. Amen. When I ask him if he's got... Anyway, we quoted a lot, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go prove them. And another said, I've married a wife, and therefore I can not come. Listen, young folks, what? It's your excuse. Amen. I understand it's easy to offer up excuses. Well, you know, both my parents ain't in church, or this one and that one. But I say, when it comes down to it, Lord, I don't want to give my Lord no excuse. God has always used men and women that didn't offer excuse. Abraham could have stayed in the Ur of Chaldees. Abraham, I'm fixing to close. Amen. But Abraham could have just said, Lord, but it's good here. Lord, you know I like it here. This is where I grew up. Oh, yes. But Abraham didn't offer no excuse. But he went not knowing. He left. He went not knowing whither God was going to take him. Joshua and Caleb, hey man, they didn't offer no excuse. Whenever everybody else was saying, there's no way, there's no way. When everybody else, when 10 spies were offering up excuses, and they said, there's no, they're like grasshoppers in their sight. There's no way we can conquer Canaan land. Joshua and Caleb, they rose to the occasion and says, we're well able. Lord, I don't know how many times I would pray. Amen. When I first got in church, I pray for God to give me that spirit of Joshua and Caleb. Lord, let me be like them. Lord, don't let me be like the 10 spies. But God, let me be like Joshua. And Caleb said, we're well able. Listen, the devil wants to tell you, you can't make it. There's no way. But let God. The Bible says, but they were going to see Canaan land. Because God said they had another spirit. Oh, David, what about his brothers and Saul? They were able to give excuses why Goliath was still coming. Amen. And talking his junk, talking his stuff every day, talking his trash every day. Amen. Something about basketball, you learn to talk trash to the good one. At least I tried to when I was growing up. And get the one that's better than you upset. You know, so they'll start missing shots. But Goliath came, talking his trash every day. Goliath came. Amen. He came, you know, just wanting to get them, to send him a man that he might fight. But David said, this Goliath, this giant, is no more than the bear. He's no more than the lion that God put in my hand. Daniel, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. You understand that the Apostle Peter and Andrew, brothers, James and John, brothers. And Sister Robin's coming. The musicians are coming tonight. I mean, they had it all laid out for them. I mean, their dad had that fishing business going. I wouldn't doubt probably what the fishing boats were probably paid off. I mean, it was already set for them. They already knew what they were supposed to do in life. Their dad had it all right. Here comes Jesus Christ. And he says, I want you to come follow me. And I'll make you fishers of men. And I'm going to tell you, that caused a big rip current in that family right there. That caused some major problems in that family right there. Peter and Andrew and James and John decided to get up and start following Jesus Christ. That caused some major problems. Financially, it caused major problems in that family when they decided to do what Jesus told them to do. But they did not offer an excuse. They could have said, but Lord, my dad's doing this all of his life. Lord, you... No excuse. They walked with Jesus. Paul, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Rahab, Ruth, Esther. Hey, man, what, they're all different men and women throughout the Bible who offered no excuse. But yet they said, like Ruth said, I'm going to go wherever you go. I know I was born in a different land. I know God's promises are not technically for me. But I'm going to go. Your God's going to be my God. And she offered no excuse. Esther, hey man, her uncle had to remind her, who knows that God put you here for such But he could have my head for showing up without an audience, without an invitation. He could have my head chopped clean off. Who knows that God put you here for such a time as this? The woman, a man that wanted to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Amen. As Sister Robin's playing tonight, this. Amen. What about tonight? Did you come with a need in your life? Amen. Did you come tonight with something in your life that you needed? A touch. What about next week during camp meeting? What's going to be your excuse for not getting in? Amen. What's your excuse tonight for not allowing Jesus Christ to help you and touch you? Did you come with a need? Brother John testified about it. I've heard him testify several times just a few weeks ago. He testified how about a few years ago. Camp meeting time, this time a few years ago, he had a need. He wanted to make sure he done everything he could to get that touch that he needed. No excuses, young people. But I just ain't, you know, I just, my family this, my family that. We have no excuse when it comes to following Jesus. Are you going to go the same way you came? Are you going to? Well, it just wasn't going tonight. It was kind of quiet tonight or whatever. I'm going to tell you what, that lady that said, I've got to touch the hem of his garment. She had to get through so many obstacles. She had to get through those Pharisees. She had to get through those disciples. I mean, she did. She said, I'm not leaving. She had so many excuses around her why she didn't have to pursue touching the hem of Jesus' garment. But she made up her mind, I will not go back. I will not leave here and make an excuse. I will touch the hem of his garment. As you're standing all over God's house tonight, psychologists tell us that every time we have a fine feeling, oh, I like those fine feelings, don't you? You know, you get the courage, you get inspiration to do something great. Psychologists tell us every time we have a fine feeling, but do not act on it, the less likely we are to act on it at all. The emotion becomes a substitute for the action. Jesus urges us to act at once when our hearts are stirred. How about it, young folks? Why can't you have the victory every time you come to the house of God? Why can't you find that place at home and pray the power down before you come? I'm trying to hurry, but tell you one thing about going on the college trips. One thing that Brother Rawson and the teachers there, especially Brother Rawson, our pastor, emphasizes to the college students is that you're going to minister. You're not going to be ministered to. You're going to minister. And I would that every young person in this house would catch a hold. Amen. Catch a hold of that desire. That when you come to the house of God, you're not coming to be ministered to. You're not coming to get prayed through. You're not coming. You're going to come already prayed through. You're going to come ready to lay your hands on somebody. You're going to come believing. Amen. That God is going to do a miracle for somebody else. That you're going to watch God do great and mighty things in his house. No excuses, young folks. No excuses. No excuses. I say, let's get on fire. Let's be on fire. Amen. Let's come to the house of God on fire every service. Let's come to the house of God, young folks. Amen. With the power of God. Let's pray and fast like we ought to. Amen. Let's live on Monday and Tuesday like we ought to. Like we live on Sunday. What about it, young folks? Are you going to offer Jesus Christ excuses? Are you going to say, Lord, I'll serve you? Are you just going to do what he's telling you to do? Are you just going to walk where he tells you to walk? Are you going to go where he tells you to go? Hey, amen. What about tonight? Oh, what about tonight? Maybe you have a need. Hey, amen. Don't leave without Jesus Christ touching that need. Don't give no excuse tonight. Let him help you tonight. Let's come and find a place around these altars to pray tonight. Hey, amen. Let's all come. Let the Lord touch you. Maybe you have a need tonight. Why don't you let the Lord help you? Don't leave the same way you came. Don't go through camp meeting next week not receiving a touch from the Lord. Oh, there's so many excuses people offer. I don't want to offer no excuse tonight.